on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Dr. Hal Stewart is the CEO of the Stewart Center. He lectures extensively, teaching dentists across the country and around the world about advanced restorative dentistry. He joins us to talk about a couple of new developments in the dental world. How you doing, Dr. Stewart?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm up to about 65% this morning and still moving up.
Keep going.
Let's start with something I heard about, and then we did a little more research into this and found that shielding patients from radiation with lead aprons is something that some hospitals are not going to do anymore. And in the coming year, the National Council on Radiation Protection and Measurements, which gives guidance to regulatory bodies, is expected to release a statement supporting a halt to patient shielding. Really? Why?
Well, the American Association of Physicists in Medicine, so these are scientists that deal with the, you know, the physical attributes of radiation. They found that in hospitals where you're having broader areas that are radiographed, and, you know, in the dental office were just a very small area, but in areas where you're having broader areas radiographed, the newer radiographic machines, the CTs and what have you, they can detect the lead, even though the lead's protecting something that they're not radiating. The machines can actually detect the lead and say, oh, I need to increase the radiation exposure. So patients are actually getting, in the areas that are being irradiated, they're actually getting more radiation because of the lead apron in the presence of the, it's being detected by the radiograph machine, by the instrument. So radiographs, and I can't speak, you know, as fluently in medicine as I can in dentistry, but radiation in dentistry is so minimal, and the radiation heads that we use are collimated, so the radiation, when the x-rays are bouncing out of the head of the x-ray unit, they're in a very concentrated, and there's very little scatter, meaning, you know, if you shoot a shotgun, you get a scatter, you get a very broad, whereas you shoot a rifle, you get a very narrow projector of the bullet. If you look at radiation and the way that x-ray heads are now, they're collimated, so the x-rays coming out stay in a really tight, packed formation, and so you don't really get the radiation down below the neck if you're radiating the teeth. So that's why it's not as we don't, you know, we kind of do it now just because we've been doing it, and that's what patients are expecting. But the negative parts of using a lead apron are not really applicable to dentistry, but in, like I said, in hospitals, the areas that are getting irradiated can actually have more radiation sent to those parts of the body because of the detection of the lead protective apron in other parts of the body.
Interesting. So because the equipment picks up the fact that not enough radiation is going to the part of the body that it's supposed to go to because of that lead apron, you're actually getting too much, yes, too much radiation?
Right. Yeah, and that can happen. It can happen very quickly and very easily. So that's something that a lot of hospitals are now reconsidering and getting away from it. There are non-lead protective aprons, but I really don't know if they cause the same effect as lead aprons do. I know the lead aprons can do that. So the radiographic machines we have now are so sophisticated. I mean, we can do, here in my office, we do three-dimensional scan called cone beam computed tomography, and we don't use any type of lead apron with that at all, and it gives us an entire 3D scan of the head and neck, where we can go through inside and out, you know, front and back, up and down, and with a sophisticated software we have. So, and the radiation doses are so very, very low as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But that's dentistry. You know, in medicine, I know they've got to irradiate some pretty heavily area sometimes. So what you don't want is, you know, mistakenly even increasing the radiation when you don't really want to need it. So I think that's why a lot of hospitals are getting away from the lead aprons.
Yeah, I've had a lot of those 3D scans lately. I'm going to make that my new publicity picture, my new 8x10, by the way. It's very nice. So do you foresee a time in the dentist's office where you're not going to be putting the lead apron on patients?
Yes, I see that. We're really there. It's just a matter of, you know, getting the public used to it.
Mm.
So, but yeah, I see that 5, maybe 10 years down the road where that won't be an issue anymore at all.
Also in the news, what's being heralded as a low-cost, pain-free technique to treat cavities, especially in patients who aren't good candidates for fillings, such as the very young or the elderly, a silver diamine fluoride, an antimicrobial liquid medication. You paint it on teeth to stop decay. Is this going to be widely used, doctor?
Well, it serves a very, very good purpose, especially as our population is aging and people are on more medications that give them xerostomia or dry mouth. And we see that in what's actually alarming in the patient demographics that are suffering from chronic dry mouth are getting younger and younger because of all the medications that people are on. But especially in the elderly, where they start getting, because of their dry mouth, they're believe it or not, without a good salivary flow, the bacteria stays on the teeth and your mouth becomes very acidic. So these patients start getting decay right at the gum line or right at the margin of a crown, and because they can't keep it clean and it's just a constant state of acidity. So the silver diamine fluoride is great for those patients. It's great for any patient that's got what we call incipient caries, or it's definitely decay, but it hasn't, you know, overtaken 25% or 30% of the tooth. I mean, once you get, you know, 10%, 15%, 20% of the tooth affected, it's not going to help that. But if you catch it early, you've got a combination of silver, water, fluoride, and ammonia. The silver kills the bacteria. The water provides a liquid base for the mixture. The fluoride helps the teeth rebuild the minerals, the enamel and the dentin, and the ammonia helps the solution remain concentrated after it's placed on. And it is very effective. My population, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, the older you get as a doctor, your patient base gets older too.
Yep, so that's how it works.
I'm not quite 60 yet, but it's usually about 15 years younger and 15 years older. So I'm seeing, you know, I have a lot of patients in their mid-70s and 80s, and we use this a lot, and it can be applied by the hygienist in the when they come in for cleanings. There's no anesthesia necessary, no drilling, and it's much less costly for the patient. And, you know, many young patients and many older patients just can't tolerate a lot of dental work. And so this is a wonderful treatment if the decay is caught early and it can be stopped in its tracks.
Silver diamine fluoride. Interesting stuff from Dr. Hal Stewart this morning. Doc, I hope my dental insurance covers this conversation, but we appreciate you taking the time this morning. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. Yeah. Bye-bye.